Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, and the Reverend Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. I still really can't believe Herb's gone, Faith. It seems like yesterday, and it was so surreal, you know, the glioblastoma diagnosis that last year. And he remained so upbeat all the time. And then during COVID, what a strange and odd event, a small funeral. So I'm so glad all of you could come today for this wonderful event. Small funeral and small graveside. I miss Herb a lot. He was my older brother, basically, in the faith, and always full of great wisdom. He knew everybody in the whole synod. And you and the family know that because he was always taking time away from you to answer to all the needs of everybody in the whole synod, an endemic problem that all of us synod bureaucrats have, and I've got it worse than ever, worse than Herb, I think, now. But Herb was a man of the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection. And it was his dear goal and desire to write a book on the resurrection, and he wasn't able to do that. He was able to write some things, and I thank Randy Asbury and all the contributors. You've got to get this book. It's full of Herb's. You've got a bunch of Herb's kind of folksy talk, and it's remarkably Herbian. So solid, so matter-of-fact, so utterly faithful that it's just a delight. He says, "The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is ongoing assurance from God himself that Jesus Christ is Lord and is worthy of our trust. In a world full of competing voices, our purpose here is to boost your confidence in this heart of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's because the resurrection changes everything. Anyone who is unsure of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead will also be less confident in other areas of apologetics and witness, creation versus evolution, the exclusive claims of Christianity, etc. However, when a person is fully convinced Jesus Christ did rise bodily from the dead and that he is alive today, ruling over all creation for the sake of his church, such conviction shows a confidence in the Christian message that is not easily shaken. Certainty about the death and resurrection of Jesus and the reason for it, the boundless love of God, profoundly changes how that person thinks of others and approaches them. Put to death for our transgression and raised for our justification." Herb, in a later piece, quotes a Wall Street Journal writer, Weigel, who surprised him with an Easter story about how the resurrection changed Christianity or threw Christianity upon the world in two interesting ways. One, love. Here was this Christian movement that loved other people, sought peace with other people, only wanted to speak of Christ. This movement that within a couple of centuries, Cyprian in North Africa during time of plague was advising, his bishop, advising people to go out and assist the pagans who were dying or others, to nurse them in their deepest need and hours, and more than that, even to go out and bury the dead of non-Christians, because those bodies too were made in the image of God. This burst of love upon the world. And then he said, these apostles burst upon the world proclaiming this gospel of free forgiveness in Jesus Christ and his resurrection in a way that absolutely indicates that the resurrection is true. And it is. I've been doing a lot of, late evening, and when I can't sleep at night, I watch YouTube videos on archaeology in the Old Testament. It's just fascinating. Right now, the biggest archaeological dig going on in Israel is at Shiloh, where the temple was during the period of the Judges. And the stuff they're finding there to confirm what's simply written in the scriptures is phenomenal. And it goes on and on. And there's new stuff all the time coming out of these digs. And all over the Mediterranean world where Christianity hit. There's a wonderful Google search you can do for people of the Bible verified outside the Bible. There are about 60 names of people who are mentioned in both Old Testament and New Testament, whose names are found on pottery, on inscriptions, in contemporary writings, all contemporary to that person's existence. The idea that the Bible is a bunch of myth is a myth. And the evidence for this grows remarkably constantly. What is, of course, really shocking is that these apostles went out and they were martyred for the faith. And no serious historian doubts that. There are interesting and obscure records for a number of the apostles, but some fantastic tradition for the apostles' martyrdoms. Who goes, bursts upon the world preaching a resurrection that they believe didn't happen? Or is it not significant that there is no record of anybody inside the movement who comes up later and says, you know, these gospels were written, but I knew it really didn't happen. It was a hoax. There's nothing like that. It's an argument from silence, but is deafening silence. In 2009, Pope Benedict allowed for a tomb to be opened it up to get a probe in so they could get bits of the remains of the individual inside. It happened to be at St. Paul's outside the wall in Rome. And we know the place at the end of the Appian Road where there was a military barracks, very strong tradition. Paul was martyred there, beheaded. You can go there and see the place where his head bounced and three fountains resulted from that. I think that might be apocryphal. But nevertheless, he was martyred there. Nobody doubts that. And he was taken to a nearby cemetery. And once Constantine began donating property to the church, they marked that site, and the first basilicas began to be built. And there's a tomb right in the middle, this tomb of St. Paul. They sent a probe in, and guess what they found? Remains of a first century Jewish man, complete with first century Jewish clothing. Remarkable. Same thing with Peter. During World War II, there was secret excavations going on under St. Peter's. You see, that obelisk in the front of St. Peter's, that's from Egypt, is about 1,800, maybe even 3,000 years old. That obelisk, that was on the side, and back a little farther, it was the center of Nero's hippodrome. And near Nero's hippodrome, there was a cemetery. Now, the city of Rome burned in 63 or so, and Nero blamed it on the Christians, and it was in that persecution that St. Peter and Paul were martyred. And sure enough, those friends of Paul, Peter, took him to that cemetery. Now, under the Vatican, I've been under there, there's a whole street of mausoleums, artwork, numerous burials, different kinds of burials, different kinds of religions, etc. And there is a particular tomb from about probably 150 AD, which has in Greek inscribed on it, "Here lies Peter," or "Here is Peter." Now, Hermann Zasa, great Lutheran historian, Oscar Kuhlmann, great Lutheran historian, both of them said there's no reason to doubt that this is Peter's grave. There's all kinds of other nonsense in Rome, believe me, and it's hard to find the gospel written anywhere. But underneath it all, there is this historical fact of these apostles, joint founders of the church at Rome. It's the fact that they died preaching this resurrection of Christ, who's put to death for your transgressions and raised for your justification. His death was for the sin of the whole world. There's no other atonement to be made. There's nothing for you to do. His blood covers everything. Love covers a multitude of sins. Well, in the case of Jesus, it covers all sin. There's no sin that's ever been committed that has not already been atoned for, including the grossest sins in the history of the world, and including your darkest sins, which you know full well and struggle with daily. Your sins are put to death in Jesus Christ. And moreover, he is raised for our justification. The resurrection is justification. The resurrection is the declaration of not guilty on all people everywhere. There's nobody who's going to not go to heaven whose sins have not been paid for and forgiven. The message is received by this faith. No one comes to the Father but by the Son. The message is received by faith. And so justification happens freely by grace through faith alone. And that frees you to forgive those around you. It frees you to live a joyous life like Herb. I always loved trying to ridicule him. When I love people, this, believe me, this doesn't work for the LWML or anywhere else. That's why I resort to self-deprecation in those circumstances. But when I really love somebody, I love to insult them and, you know, poke them. And I could never get Herb's double, So unique. I loved him so much. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, Christ is all of yours. Your sins are completely forgiven. Eternal life is yours. Believe it. It's really true. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When you stare, and we've lost several since Herb, and the march goes on to our own death. I'm not going to be around that much longer, and neither are you. And our time could be tomorrow. Fear not. Live your life. Eternity is in front of you. Be joyous. The message of Christ is joy, sins forgiven, freedom, love, kindness, conviction. And the Lord has given us the grand privilege of being able to give this gift to all those around us. What joy. And that's what Herb was all about, finally. We thank God for his time with us. We thank you, family, for sharing him with the church, a remarkable man. And we thank God for all of you friends who knew Herb and Faith in such remarkable ways, appreciated his pastoral touch, his pastoral care, his love, his humble advice, and benefited from it. I sure did. And what a wonderful testimony he gives us that in departing to eternity to await the resurrection, he calls upon all of us to lift up our heads like Christ and look at what's coming. It's all good, folks. It's all good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.